We are back with another episode of Never Trust a Skinny Cook. Mike Cummings, along with Miss Sammy Quiggins. Miss Sammy, how are you today?
I'm good, Mike. How are you? What do you know?
I'm doing fine, and I don't know anything, but I'm hoping you're going to fix that. What are we going to talk about today?
Oh, my goodness. I tell you, I've got a cookbook here that I'm really fond of. It's kind of, you know how when you have a cookbook you like, it's kind of dirty on the pages?
Well, sure.
Grease marks.
Right.
This one was put out by Holy Guardian Angel Church. I think it was around 2001.
Okay.
It was called Angel Food, and it's got some recipes of some dear friends of mine in it. I just was looking through it the other day. You know how I am. I sit around and read cookbooks instead of cleaning house.
Okay. What did you come across that would be of interest to us?
Well, I got a meatloaf recipe. You know, it's just something good. And it was a good friend of mine who's passed away, Liz Emery. I'm sure you know some of her kids, Jean Ann Wise, Janet Doan.
Sure.
Jimmy Hardesty, and Jackie Claycomb. Mm-hmm. I've known them all forever, and Liz was a good friend of mine. We went to diet classes together.
Okay.
She was a really good cook, too.
Well, that's probably why you had to go to diet classes.
I think it probably is. She was really a good friend, and I think of her often and miss her, and when I'm looking through this cookbook, she has a bunch of recipes here, and this meatloaf one looks really good.
Okay.
And I know that she was a good cook, because we were always having potluck suppers, you know, and various things where we all brought a dish, and I was always looking for Liz's dish when I went around the table.
How does this meatloaf go?
It's 2 pounds of ground round, 2 eggs, 1 1/4 cup of breadcrumbs, 3/4 cup ketchup, 1 teaspoon of accent seasoning, 1/2 cup of warm water, and then she put in 1 package of Lipton onion soup mix.
Okay.
And 2 strips of bacon if you wanted to, and 1 can of tomato soup. You know, all except the Lipton soup mix, kind of stuff you got right there.
Sure.
And a lot of people use that as seasoning in things. I've used it in a few things, but I had never used it in a meatloaf till she said it. I always just put in some dried onion or chopped onion. And in a large bowl, combine the ground round with eggs and the breadcrumbs and the ketchup, your accent seasoning, the water, and the soup mix, and mix it well. In a loaf pan, shape the meat mixture into a loaf, lay the bacon strips across the top of the meatloaf, and pour the tomato sauce over all, and bake at 350 for 1 hour. She said make 6 servings, so I guess that depends on who's eating.
I think it would.
You and me, it might be 4.
Yeah, I do like my meatloaf, and here's the thing, I'm one of those people that likes a meatloaf sandwich the day after.
Oh, I do too, Mike. I like a cold slice with maybe a little mustard on it.
Okay.
You know, I like to have meatloaf left. Well, it's good warmed over too. You can warm it up and you really can't hardly tell the difference.
Absolutely.
So, you know, really if you were in the mood and you had a big family, you could just kind of double this and make 2 pans of it. Well, it kind of be nice to make 2 pans anyway and wrap one up with foil and freeze it.
Mm-hmm.
Then some night for supper, you could just bring that sucker out. But like with you and me, we like it cold or like it in a sandwich. We probably would never let it go that long.
I don't think I would. Meatloaf doesn't tend to have that long a shelf life at my house.
I know, me either. I mean, I can make several sandwiches or do something with it. I like meatloaf and mashed potatoes, you know, and then some kind of little greenery with it. You got a good meal there.
And I think mashed potatoes go with meatloaf like peas and carrots.
And you know, I really learned several years ago, I never did that because Mama never did. You know how we've always talked, we cook things like Mama did.
Sure.
But I'll take that after I took that meatloaf out of that loaf pan, I'll put me a little water and a little ketchup and maybe a little cornstarch and water and make kind of a little tomatoey gravy with that beef flavor and eat that on mashed potatoes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's something about having a well in a pile of mashed potatoes with a little gravy in it that's pretty much comfort food, don't you think?
I absolutely agree with that. You know, the mashed potatoes without the gravy, just not quite the same.
I know, you gotta have a little gravy on mashed potatoes, I just think. I mean, I like mashed potatoes really well. You know, we always had mashed potatoes a lot because you had your own potatoes then in the garden. You had milk and butter and, you know, just mixed them up and fixed them. And it's one of my main comfort foods. I like it better. A lot of people really like mac and cheese. It's their big comfort food.
Yeah.
But I have to say, I believe mashed potatoes are more mine.
And you know, if you dig that well in the potatoes and you don't have the gravy to go in it, butter makes a nice substitute.
I'm just sitting there thinking that. Then I got a vegetable dish too. This is my friend Barbara Brown's, who I'm always giving recipes. And she wouldn't have this recipe if it wasn't for Teddy's garden. Ratatouille. You remember the movie about the little rat?
I do.
She's the one who had taught me. I had never heard of ratatouille until she started telling me about making it. And it's a little time consuming. And everybody said, you know, well, it's really good if you have it left over. It's good cold and left. And I never made it till after I was married to Don and he had a garden. It seemed like there never was any left. But it's 3 eggplants, and if you're real tender, you don't even have to peel them. 3 to 4 zucchini, olive oil, 2 large onions, quartered and separated, 2 cloves of garlic mixed, 4 medium bell peppers seeded and cut into squares, 8 to 10 medium ripe tomatoes peeled and quartered, 2 tablespoons minced fresh basil or a teaspoon dried, and salt and pepper to taste. And you slice your eggplant and ratatouille and heat a wide skillet with 3 tablespoons of olive oil. And kind of fry your eggplant slices in batches, removing to a paper towel to drain when they're nicely brown. And you want to drain them because eggplant has, you know, a lot of water in it.
Right.
And it's good to do that. And then if you need to more, add some more olive oil, and you do the same with the zucchini slices. Take them out in the same skillet. You saute onion and garlic and some more olive oil until slightly wilted, about 4 or 5 minutes. And add your peppers, tomatoes, and basil all at once. Or if the skillet's not large enough, you can put them in a larger pot. But I've got a big enough skillet to mine. I usually got it in the same pan. It was a one-pan dish that way. Put all the stuff back in the skillet and simmer and stir occasionally and cook about 10 minutes. And then you place the fried eggplant and zucchini in a bowl and add the tomatoes and mix gently. And you pour into a baking dish with pretty deep sides on it, or a casserole, and bake at 350 for 30 minutes until it's bubbly and well heated through. And if you want, you can top it with some Parmesan. And I'm kind of like you are about the butter in the well of potatoes. Parmesan's always good.
Absolutely.
And if you want to, you don't even have to do them individually like that. But that's the way she taught me, so that's the way that I always did it. And it sure did turn out good. And, you know, it really makes a good meal with some garlic bread.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because it's if you're into eating vegetables a lot, it's a lot of good stuff for you there.
Well, there you go.
Olive oil is pretty good for you.
Mm-hmm.
I can eat quite a bit of it, I have to say. And as I say, after Don and I started making it, he couldn't stay out of it once it made it. It never made it to a refrigerator because he'd go back and get a little more and go back and get a little more every time.
Yeah, and a little mozzarella on top of that with the Parmesan would be very good too.
That would be very good. And, you know, garlic bread, some good garlic bread, because you got some juice there with those tomatoes. But, you know, it's just great when you got good garden stuff and good fresh vegetables, zucchini. And Teddy grows all those. So over this weekend, this past weekend, he brought me a big sack of greens. And boy, were they good. Turnip greens and kale and 2 or 3 kinds of greens. And they were, he had washed them 2 or 3 times and they were as clean as they could be. And used to cook greens all day. When Mama cooked greens, she'd put them on with some ham fat and cook them all day. But I just put some olive oil in a skillet and a lid and put those in there. And of course, you know how they wilt down.
Mm-hmm.
You got a sack as big as a bushel. And then when you get them hot, before you know it, you've only got a handful.
Right.
And I love a hard-boiled egg chop on top of it.
That sounds good.
That good. I believe they were the best greens I ever ate. Of course, it's early, and so they're real tender.
Mm-hmm.
And they really were good. Thanks to my gardening friend.
And it's getting about that time when there are going to be lots of good things coming out of that garden.
Well, he had brought me some green onions already, and I had been chowing down on them. And I tell you, those greens were delicious.
You said we had 3 things today. What's our third one?
Pineapple pecan cake, and this is another friend of mine and another lady from Holy Guardian Angels. I say this came out of this cookbook, which was done, my goodness, I can't believe it's been 18 years since we did this. Her pineapple pecan cake, and that is good too, and it's easy. Take 2 cups of sugar and 2 cups of all-purpose flour, 2 teaspoons of baking soda, 2 eggs, a 20-ounce can of crushed pineapple, and don't drain it, and a cup of chopped nuts. In the mixing bowl, you combine those first 5 ingredients and mix well, and then stir in your pecans. And pour it into an ungreased 13x9x2 inch pan, you know, my favorite pan.
Right.
And you bake at 350 for 40 to 45 minutes until a toothpick comes out clean, you can tell. And cool it completely. And then she frosted it with a cream cheese frosting. An 8-ounce package of cream cheese, 1/2 cup butter or margarine softened, and 1.5 cups powdered sugar, and 1 teaspoon vanilla. And after your cake cools, you just mix that frosting together and beat it until smooth and frost the cake. And it stays, you know, if you want to keep it in the refrigerator and keep it in the covered pan, it'll stay fresh a long time. If it stays around a long time.
Yeah, I don't think that would be a problem either.
You know, I don't have that much problem with a lot of stuff.
It all sounds good.
But those are Holy Guard. Those are angel recipes from Holy Guardian Angel.
Okay.
I've got a lot of church cookbooks from this area, so I'm going to dig out some more. Every time anybody made one, I bought it, you know. I have cookbooks running out the kazoo.
Well, Miss Sammy, that is going to bring us down to the part of the show where we tell folks if you want a copy of these recipes, very simple. All you have to do is send us an email here at the radio station to wxbc@bbtel.com and mark that Attention Skinny Cook, or they can email you directly at sammyq@bbtel.com.
Or they can call me here at home, because now I am home, you know, because where I was working all the time. My number's in the book. Leave me a message and I'll get back with you.
Okay. Well, Miss Sammy, tell them what we always say.
Oh, honey, don't ever trust that skinny cook.